Today on Straight Talk Africa, Nigerians have a new president. Former military ruler, Major General Muhammadu Buhari, retired but not tired. We'll talk about the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead for Africa's most populous nation. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, April 1st. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, it's the third and final in a series of programs as part of Voice of America's Nigeria Decides 2015 for Africa's largest economy and most populous nation.
Well, what a historic week for Africa in general and Nigeria in particular. Well, coming up later in our SDA inbox, we'll share your emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments on Nigeria's presidential elections. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, Nigeria woke up to a new president-elect today, Major General Muhammadu Buhari. But most people agree that democracy is the real winner here, as the country embarks on its first peaceful democratic handover of power since the end of military rule in 1999. My colleague Anne Rook has more from Abuja.
Celebrations erupted before final results were even announced. It was game over for the People's Democratic Party, which has monopolized Nigerian politics for 16 years. President Goodluck Jonathan conceded and called for peace. Mr. Buhari saluted his opponent's statesmanship and congratulated Nigerians. One-party rule is over, he said.
The people have shown their love for our nation and their belief in democracy.
The fourth time was the charm for this ex-military ruler and longtime presidential candidate. The vote is being praised as Nigeria's freest and most transparent yet, despite logistical delays and technical issues at the polls. The opposition united in 2013, forming the All Progressives Congress. The party pledged change amid unfettered corruption, near constant power cuts, and a sinking oil-dependent economy.
He will turn the country around, we know that, but it's going to take time because the country is in a state of complete decay. So we are not under any illusion that there is a miracle going to happen straight away.
As Mr. Buhari takes office, the Boko Haram insurgency rages on in the northeast. It intensified dramatically on Mr. Jonathan's watch. Thousands of civilians have been killed, more than a million displaced. Borno State has been the most affected. That state's results were the last to come in. A new era is about to be born, oh, tweeted one Nigerian. The APC dominated the North in this vote and scored key victories in the Southwest, a stark change from the last PDP win in 2011. Kano, the largest city in the North, partied into the night. There was giddiness and a sense of empowerment in the streets. People danced. In Abuja, they chanted. Father, father, they sang in Hausa. But they also said they want results, and they will let Mr. Buhari know how he's doing in 4 years at the next election. Anne Look, VOA News, Abuja.
Thanks, Anne, for that report. Still in Abuja, we bring you another angle of reaction from my colleague Peter Kilote, who is on assignment in Nigeria covering the historic election. He joins us live from the capital, Abuja. Good evening, Peter. Well, it looks like we're not being able to be joined by Peter Kilote. Let's go to the northern part of Nigeria and see whether we can link up with our reporter in Kano. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am terrific. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very briefly, tell us, what is the mood like from your vantage point in Kano?
Well, when people jubilating, more specifically last night, you had people, speeding cars down the road, riding really fast in motorcycles and dragging metal objects behind them, so they shot sparks everywhere. People lining the road to basically watch an impromptu parade that was happening. Connor, the stronghold of the APC, delivered 1.9 million votes to General Buhari and was pretty pivotal in allowing him to win the election. So people are pretty happy there. It was pretty chaotic. A number of people were actually killed during the celebrations by being run over by cars because people driving so recklessly. But it's people are very, very happy up there.
Well, Chris, I have to say, frankly, that it is very, very difficult, in fact, to understand exactly what you are saying. But let me hope that the line will do a little bit of improvement. What about people who apparently are around the city shouting, "Sai Buhari, Sai Buhari"? What exactly does that mean, translated in English?
Well, for what I know, it sort of means, only Buhari. But the English translation from Hausa, the main message in the North, is a little bit difficult. But it's basically a sign of encouragement of Buhari and kind of a way to show that you support him and support his campaign.
What about the expectations? Winning, of course, is one thing, but obviously they must have voted because they hope that their man can deliver something. What are some of the most important things that they expect from General Buhari?
There's a lot of things that are expected, but up north, the Northeast, and in a very personal way in the Northeast, but also carried out bombing and shooting attacks in northern cities like Kano, including one that killed hundreds of people at a mosque, at the main mosque in the city center in November. So that's one thing that people keep mentioning, that they're just tired of the insecurity. They're tired of the fact that these militants are about to kind of run roughshod over the security forces. And then after that, there's kind of the long list of things to be done.
Well, I'm afraid, Chris,
reliable electricity.
I'm afraid that time happens not to be our best ally. I have to go to Abuja to get some reaction from my colleague, Peter Klote, and I hope you'll find some space in your beautiful heart. Forgive me for that. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Shaka.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well, thank you. And how are you, Shaka?
I am hugely terrific. Can you share with us exactly what is happening in your neighborhood?
Well, this afternoon, when General Buhari, the president-elect, went to the International Conference Center to take his certificate that officially makes him the winner of the presidential election of the March 28th presidential election, tons and tons of his supporters were there holding their brooms, which is their emblem of the All Progressive Party, now the anticipated ruling party. They were joyous. They were shouting, "Say Buhari." There is nobody else than Buhari. And it was a joyous occasion at the International Conference Center where the INEC chairman, Professor Atairu Jiga, gave or presented the certificate to General Buhari this afternoon.
Talking about the broom, the symbol of the broom, do people sincerely believe that General Buhari is going to go ahead and use that broom perhaps to sweep corruption out of the Nigerian psyche?
Well, Shaka, that is the anticipation of a lot of Nigerians who voted for General Buhari in the streets and as well as at the International Conference Center when General Buhari said that corruption would be a thing of the past because his determination is to stamp or root out corruption. An endemic corruption in Nigeria, the place went up in applause. The applause reverberated around the center and across the country because there is perception of corruption in the country. They said they wanted General Buhari to be there because he had fought corruption when he was the military head of state. So they expected less and that they reposed confidence in him to use that broom that he stood on to be elected as the president to sweep out any corruption from all government places. This is the message from General Buhari and his supporters.
Peter, based on the people that you have been able to interact with, do you get the sense that people indeed voted for General Buhari, or were they in fact voting against incumbent president Goodluck Jonathan Ebele?
Well, Shaka, you could say it's both. Now, the PDP were sharply divided. The PDP was in crisis because officials that I spoke with in the PDP admitted that they had a lot of problems which led to the defection en masse of some top officials, including the general, the campaign manager of General Buhari, Rotimi Amaechi, who is the River State governor, who had a fallout with President Goodluck Jonathan and defected along with seven other governors. The PDP, they said, did not get it act together, and the APC took advantage of it, brought a lot of people in their camp, so there was disaffection, and their supporters went for General Buhari, and that was the crux of the matter, Shaka.
What about the fact that his political mentor, and indeed one of the co-founders of the PDP, General Olusegun Obasanjo, eventually, in fact, did switch sides himself and eventually, really, quit the party? To what extent did that weigh as a factor?
It was indeed a good factor on behalf of General Buhari because it swayed a lot of people who revere Chief Olusegun Obasanjo, and for him to put his support behind General Buhari, that really, really did him a lot of good. But let us not forget that the brain behind APC is Asiwaju Bola Tinubu, who General Buhari himself congratulated and thanked for putting the APC together. During his speech this afternoon, General Buhari said that without Asiwaju Bola Tinubu, APC wouldn't have won this election. So he gave great, great thanks to him for having the foresight and having the progressive attitude and mindset to pull all these opposition parties together to defeat the ruling PDP, which has been in power since 1999.
Talking about Tinubu, of course, that is the former governor of Lagos State. And, of course, he was able to deliver Lagos, even though it was not by a huge margin, really, as expected, perhaps. Well, thank you very much, Peter, for your insight. Thank you very much. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
President-elect Muhammadu Buhari, born in 1942, was a military ruler of Nigeria between December 1983 and August of 1985. On December 31, 1983, the Major General Buhari was selected to lead Nigeria by his fellow military officers after an almost bloodless coup. Buhari's iron-fisted first administration is remembered for the jailing of politicians for corruption and execution of drug traffickers. In August of 1985, Buhari was overthrown in a coup led by General Ibrahim Babangida. Buhari's reputation as a staunch disciplinarian appeared to go over well with voters fed up with worsening corruption. The Boko Haram insurgency made security a top campaign issue. Buhari pointed to his achievements as a military ruler against the Chadian forces who invaded Nigeria's Borno state in 1983.
Nigeria heads to the polls March 28th for a landmark election. What happens there matters throughout Africa. Turn to Voice of America for the facts. VOA reporters are in Nigeria and surrounding countries covering the campaigns and the issues and counting down to the March 28th election and beyond. Special Nigeria Decides 2015 coverage is underway now. A commitment to Africa from Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
That Muhammadu Buhari of APC, having satisfied the requirements of the law and scored the highest number of votes, is hereby declared the winner and is returned elected.
You voted for change, and now change has come.
I have conveyed my personal best wishes to General Muhammadu Buhari. May God Almighty continue to bless the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I thank you all.
Our country has now joined community of nations that have used the ballot box to peacefully change an incumbent president in a free, fair election. To me, this is indeed historic.
Of course, you did hear the INEC chairman, Professor Jega, and later you heard the president-elect, General Buhari, followed by incumbent president. Good luck, Jonathan. And later, of course, the new president. Well, welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, the third and final program dedicated to the historic Nigerian poll. Our distinguished guests are Eki Oyegun Igile, Chief Liaison Officer of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign, former Nigerian legislator Ejike Nwanko, supporter of President Goodluck Jonathan as part of the global campaign team for 2015, and last but not least, Ambassador John Campbell, former U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria. He's currently the Ralph Bunche Senior Fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations based in New York. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you.
Thank you for having us here.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome, my brother.
It's a great pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure, of course, to host you, Mr. Ambassador, especially having had the dubious privilege of missing you when I was last in Abuja in 2003, and in fact had the opportunity to host a town hall in the ECOWAS Secretariat. And guess what? It included, among others, the president-elect, Major General Muhammadu Buhari, and now the late Dim Odumegwu Ojukwu.
Yes.
So it's really a pleasure. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Eki. What is your immediate reaction, really, as a supporter of, APC, and as a Nigerian?
An excitement? Totally excited. It was the news we all were waiting for. It was the news we worked so hard to get, empowering our family and friends to make calls and go out there and vote. And from what I hear, people actually stood out there 12 to 18 hours.
But you can't say, but you really can't say, I mean, frankly, that it was the news that you all were waiting for, because I do not think, frankly, that Ejike was waiting for that. Is that what you were waiting for, Ejike?
As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I was expecting the incumbent president, with all the structures that he had laid on ground, to be able to win. I wasn't expecting that General Buhari will win, but, you know, respect Nigerian electoral process. The wish of the people, will have nothing but to congratulate him. But at the same time, while wishing him well, we're going to see in the next 6 months, because APC is a party of strange bedfellows. Many of them are from PDP. So if there was corruption, they have also invited corruption into APC. So how General Buhari, with his ability to manage government when he was in government, how he can now manage an unwielding group that has problems of greed still around them, how he's going to do that, we're going to see. You know, but I wish him well. And President Jonathan has led the structures of democracy.
You'll give you'll get some opportunity to say some complimentary things about President Jonathan later in the program. What about you, Ambassador Campbell, your immediate reaction, and what does this in fact mean for U.S.-Nigeria relations?
I was enormously proud of the way the Nigerian voters behaved. And I say proud because I have lived altogether in Nigeria almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I professionally have worked on Nigeria for a very long time. That has made me a little bit Nigerian.
Mm-hmm. So you are a Nigerian ogre.
But pride, in other words, personal identification with those hundreds of thousands of people waiting in line very patiently in order to exercise the franchise.
Why did we think, really, and it's not only me, but there are a lot of people who did not think that Nigeria could pull off this feat. I mean, it has definitely demonstrated what has been lacking, that it is indeed the giant of Africa.
It is indeed the giant of Africa. Why did we think Nigeria might not be able to pull it off? Basically, historical experience. The 1999 elections were so bad that President Carter up and left because he did not want to legitimize them mm-hmm. by his presence. The 2003 elections were said to be even worse. The 2007 elections, when I was ambassador there, worse still. Something of a turnaround, by mm-hmm. no means complete, could be seen in 2011 when the actual polling went better than it had in the past. But there were very real questions about the ballot counting, particularly in the collation centers. This time, the balloting went well. And while there were certainly irregularities, as there are always going to be in a country with a population larger than that of the Russian Federation, few question the results. This is a very, very major achievement.
Very unprecedented.
Well, it's the sort of thing we say about the United States or the United Kingdom or Japan. It's very nice to be able to say it about Nigeria.
With exception, of course, for the United States, about Florida 2000.
Right. Well, yes and no. Florida 2000 was worked through as part of a judicial process which all parties accepted.
Agreed. Eki, what about 1993? We're talking about Nigeria, June 12, 1993. Married billionaire Mashood Abiora is presumed by many, frankly, to be the leader. But guess what? General Ibrahim Badamasi Babangida announces the election. Why did Nigeria have to wait for 22 years to get there?
I think it had a lot to do with biases. People just were not ready to deal. It was the North against the South or East or West. But when something gets so bad and you're in dire need of a change, you will embrace change. So Buhari brought that change, and people were tired of the same thing, and they were willing to accept whatever comes with it. Now, It's not going to take 6 months, and I'm sure the Nigerian people know it's going to take some time. But a change has come. And as he said on his report today, it's no longer the ruling party. Mm-hmm. It's the governing party.
Yes.
So that's a very, very bold statement, and that says a lot about what's going on right now.
What about you, AGK? Would you agree with those who say perhaps that with this Buhari victory, perhaps it changes the dynamics, really, between those who govern and those who are governed in Nigeria forever? That this government indeed now reflects at least what Abraham Lincoln said to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not for some people, by some people, for some people.
Well, I will give credit for that excellent job to President Goodluck Jonathan, because if he had been any man that is autocratic, he will meddle with the election. He will make sure that the results are not called. But this, he allowed, he set up a parameter and a structure and allowed Jiga to go ahead and do an excellent job. And he supported that excellent job by conceding to president, because it never happened, you know. But that's also, Nigeria is moving forward. And as Nigeria is moving forward, we like to call attention of the world to this great movement in Nigeria to realize that the giant of Africa has actually become giant because it's shown honesty that election can happen and that people will wait in line under the sun, gruesome sun, to cast their vote. And then the people's choice matter. Nigeria's made their choice, and we respect that. And I'm congratulating General Muhammad Buhari on his this election victory.
Ambassador Campbell, there's no doubt that President Jonathan deserves credit, especially for making that timely telephone call to his competitor. But what about some who might say, wait a minute, what about the role of social media, that you now cannot do some things, frankly, in hiding?
That's right. Social media has played an extremely positive role, along with various civil organizations in Nigeria, to mobilize support for democratic methods and approaches. Social media is also acting as a kind of watchdog, and it's not afraid to point out, how shall we put it diplomatically, irregularities.
Yeah, because really, when you think about it, you look at some of the numbers which were being circulated around before the official pronouncements, they were pretty much the same.
Yes.
Pretty much the same. And when you think about the manner in which Nigerians reacted to that election, those lines, in some cases for 2 days, when you think about the role played by Professor Jagger and his group and everybody, hey, it is Nigeria that is the winner at the end of the day.
Yes.
Nigeria. Yes. Well, you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic and outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
Akampurira Baker from Kampala, Uganda, writes, "It's now crystal clear that African countries are incapable of using biometric voting systems after what happened in Kenya and now in Nigeria. Such technical breakdowns and inefficiencies become breeding grounds for vote rigging and manipulation. With these kinds of delays, we cannot be sure that the election in Nigeria was free, fair, and credible."
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The presidential election had some technical glitches with new computerized biometric voting system, which caused some polls to be kept open an extra day on Sunday. Most election observers say they didn't see any evidence of systemic manipulation of the election process. However, they were concerned that the collation part where the votes were being counted may have been subject to deliberate political interference. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, do you think that Nigeria's presidential elections were free, fair, and credible? Well, thanks, everybody, for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. Let's begin with a comment from Prosper Williams from Lagos in Nigeria, who writes, yes, the 2015 presidential elections were the most transparent in the history of democracy in Nigeria. For the first time, an incumbent president refused to interrupt the process even when he was losing. I think Nigeria's democracy is growing stronger. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOANigeriaDecides2015. And if you haven't yet, please follow us on Twitter at VOAShaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Emeka Ulor, who tweets that on a larger scale, yes, but manipulation began after INEC allowed alternative to card readers. And we have another tweet from DN Kweke, who writes, either party majority voted for their kinsmen. Few voted for a Nigerian president. Well, Shaka and guests, your thoughts on these comments.
What about this, Eki?
So which do I take first? About the card reader.
Yeah.
If something's not working, you find an alternative solution. So if the card readers were broken, which we heard, they went back to the old way of drop your ballots. And that, of course, has a higher rate of error occurring. But that does not mean the system was totally flawed. They still gave everybody an opportunity to cast their votes.
What about people who are complaining about what happened, for example, in Rivers State?
Nothing is perfect. There will be incidences. We're talking about 36 states. There's one out of 36 states that had major. I know Edo State also had issues as well. But Rivers was really one of the few with violence where I think some people lost their lives. But that's not bad in the grand scheme of things. And Nigeria has come a long way. The fraud is not going to disappear or in a day. So what happened in Rivers was unfortunate, but that really didn't cause... I mean, he won by 2 million.
I hear you. Well, so, Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with our audience, please?
Well, indeed, we'll move on to a posting from Moses Obeta from Markudi in Nigeria, who writes... The election was relatively peaceful, but it was not free and fair because there was violence against political opponents in some parts of the country. Well, another Facebook comment, this time from Okwandu Obina in Nigeria as well, who says, the election was never free and fair. The ruling party used state security to manipulate the event. In my polling unit, we never voted, but results were announced anyway. Well, Shaka, if the ruling party used state security to manipulate the event in their favor, it didn't really work because they did lose.
What Your about comments? That, Ejike? Apparently, there are places where the ruling party may have tried a bit of creative accounting, but it didn't take them very far after all.
Well, you know, when you look at it critically, you find out actually that in the northern part of Nigeria, there were areas where underage children, I have them in my video, in my system, underage children were used to vote. All these people, these children who were begging food, they were used to vote for APC. But, you know, once Nigeria had made up their mind that they're going to change, regime change, the regime change has happened. You know, now we're going to work out. But the election was fair for the president to concede defeat, an incumbent president. I look at it more from that positive angle than the minor. After all, in the United States, we had problem with Florida, but it didn't stop the main election from Bush from being declared president. So there's always going to be hitches here and there. But the ability of Nigerian, the frame of mind of Nigeria to counter those hitches and then come up at the top. And that's what we have, you know. I think we have. We should thank God for a great election because that's what it is.
What about the antiques of a one God's Day Orubebe, a former cabinet minister?
Yes.
How do you react to that, really?
Orubebe, sometimes people, they become loyal, they become over loyal. That is why I'm still routing that for somebody like Jonathan, President Jonathan, intellectual capacity, and then the growth process from deputy governor to vice president has matured him enough to be able to be a gentleman and a statesman. So all these other things, I discount them because I go from the positive side.
So that was really a reflection of psychophancy.
That's what I said.
Thank you so much. Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Good Luck Jonathan loses, but democracy wins. We'll look across Africa at the system of government in which power is vested in the people. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Today's Straight Talk Africa, we are talking about the historic Nigerian poll. Our distinguished guests are Eki Oyegun Igile, Chief Liaison Officer of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign, former Nigerian legislator Ejike Nwanko, supporter of President Goodluck Jonathan, as part of the global campaign team for 2015, and last but not least, Ambassador John Campbell, former U.S. ambassador to Nigeria. He is currently the Ralph Bunche Senior Fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations based in New York. Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Well, I have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Okay. And I guess there is one Patrick from the great nation, of course, of Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka.
I'm usually terrific. Could you be as brief as humanly possible, please? Because time is not our best ally.
Yes, Mr. Shaka. You see, the media tried. The incoming government, as we all know, is the government that is the change, and the government that is going to fight corruption, poverty, and illiteracy. Now, when you are talking about Karida, most of this Karida we are talking is purely toy. Now, the major problem we had that time was what we call voters' education. There was no proper voters' education. Voters were not educated, and that is why you see the whole thing. Thank God that the whole thing went freely and fair. We thank God for everything. And you, Shaka, you have tried, because what you did last week, at least, gingered many Nigerians to go out and vote. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Well, Patrick, profoundly honored for your compliments, sir. Still in Nigeria, good evening, Abdullahi. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening. This is Abdullahi talking from Nasarawa State.
Abdullahi, you're most welcome. What is your question or comment, sir?
Thank you very much. My question, I want to make a very quick observation.
You have a minute, please.
My question is this. I want you to know that the new incoming president, to know that the people who are surrounding him are the old people from the PDP, and therefore he should be very careful in handling them. A general with great integrity. He is not a Democrat.
Therefore,
if he is not careful, what they did to Jonathan, they will do to him.
Thank
they are working for his interest.
Thank you very much. You know, there is a saying, by the way, that politicians run for office or campaign in poetry, but that when it comes to governing, that one they do in prose. Do you agree with that, Ambassador Campbell?
I think there's a great deal of wisdom in that statement in any country in the world.
What does General Buhari do, given that he is Mr. Clean, a man, you know, a lot of people clearly agree that he is incorruptible. Yes. But when you look at the people that supported him, you have to wonder.
And General Buhari has held no public office for decades, which means he is going to have to put together a team of people with whom he can work and who have the same sense of direction that he has. We Americans like to say most problems boil down to personnel. I think incoming President Buhari is going to have personnel problems.
Very, very interesting, very interesting. I guess I heard that we have to go for a break. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
The winning presidential candidate must secure a simple majority, as well as at least 25% of the vote in two-thirds of the 36 states, plus the Federal Capital Territory. The Electoral Commission counts and publicly announces the votes counted at each polling station. Copies of unit results will be uploaded to the INEC website. If the total number of votes exceeds the number of accredited voters at a polling unit, all votes from that center will be nullified to prevent ballot stuffing and multiple voting. If there are complaints, the information saved on the card reader will be used by the collection officer to decide the case. The final results are announced by INEC after all votes have been counted. If needed, a runoff for the presidency will be held within 7 days after the results announcement if either the simple majority or state requirement is not met.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui. And let's go back to Nigeria. Good evening, Michael. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, sir.
I am usually terrific. I know that... There is a saying that perhaps one out of every four Africans may in fact be a Nigerian, but I'm beginning to develop a bit of jealousness here, really, because the last time I checked, I thought we are broadcasting to Africa, but so far we've been held hostage by Nigeria, and for good reasons. What is your question, Michael?
You see, I want to congratulate...
I'm afraid...
We are the one that election because we are able to conduct ourselves specifically for this election. But one thing that I'm afraid is that our politicians, they don't have, they are prostitutes. They don't have a kind of a political ideology. There is no political ideology. So as APC has won, now my fear is that all the PDP and senators and rep members will now swing to APC. Then the PDP will die. There will be no vibrant opposition. That Thank is you. One of my fears. The Wait. Second fear is that if you look at the pattern of the voting, clearly show that the north and the south, the southern part of the country, the south east, the south south, and the north west, and the north east is like they voted for not personality, they voted for their tribe. And if we continue in this manner, the nation will not move forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Michael. I wish I could know where you come from in Nigeria. The last time I checked Ejike, really, if you look at the map, you have to wonder, frankly, what happened to the incumbent president, Jonathan, and the PDP, really, because he seemed to have confined himself to southeastern Nigeria and south-south. I mean, really?
Yes. I will tell you, people don't see this. They just look at it at the surface. But I will give a typical Igbo adage that denotes has the direct perception of the odor of the mouth more than any part of the body. So the south-south and the southeast, we are in the Nigerian geopolitical clashes in those days, where the area that we are divided during the internal crisis in Nigeria, Nigerian Biafra war, was so much so that the two people that were so close together under Dr. Azikiwe were totally divided. But now they have united. People don't even know that. That's what I'm saying. In this political game that people are playing, they look at it at the surface. They have united. And unity there is more important because the worst thing you can ever have in any system is the internal enemy. But mm-hmm. now they are united as a bloc. And they voted. The Igbos left their viewpoint of, leadership. We concede it to the led the minority leadership of Jonathan, and also, secondly, those areas where the place that where totally neglected. They were the oil belt area. They were totally neglected.
But don't you agree, frankly, that there is a fundamental paradigm shift in Nigerian politics? Because let's face it, the last time the general ran, he was confined to the north.
Yes, let me answer.
No inroads.
Let me tell you that. It was the military Argonauts that refused the General Buhari from being president of Nigeria. They decided this time to unite again. And unite because somehow it's Jonathan versus a general. And they made it that we are still relevant. And they united behind Jonathan. This is still, I'm telling you, because America should look at it. Even this, every Nigerian should look at it. The military who said no to Buhari, I know Buhari when he was a DIF commander of 5th DIF in Lagos.
But I think you're being very unkind, frankly, to an average Nigerian voter.
No. Excuse me.
These are not barracks. These people do not live in the barracks.
The Nigerian voters voted according to their conscience. Mm-hmm. But there is a father figure that every hand, I mean, we say, people say that the fish that you see that is dried and has the tail bent was bent by with a hand. So Nigerian voters have voted, like many Nigerians voted for Buhari because they're straightforward, because Buhari is an incorruptible leader. But
what about the Yorubaland?
Sorry?
Yorubaland.
Yorubaland, they voted. If you have the voting pattern here. Southwest, I have the voting pattern here. Even in Southeast, they still voted for Buhari, but there's a preponderance on who they prefer.
He's a national candidate.
He's a national candidate.
Walk me back to the election of 1999,
yes.
Which, of course, reincarnated General Olusegun Obasanjo, this time, of course, as a civilian president.
Yes.
Don't you remember that there was a north-south divide?
Well, I was there.
You could not even get a vote in Abeokuta. Where he comes from?
I was there when the general, because actually it was supposed to be Ekweme. I was there in Jos. Ekweme was the preferred candidate. Everybody wanted to, but overnight, military did their strategy and say Baba. It was overnight. It was a military strategy, and Nigerians should realize that the military strategy, when the game comes to become, there is always analysis and some people that go underground overnight to do their managerial maneuvers. And that's exactly what happened on that General Obasanjo. And then overnight, Obasanjo was elected. Same way now, they've changed their mind and decided that Buhari, we'll give you a going welcome. You're 73 years old. We're going to give you a good welcome before you retire.
Let's go to, Eki, let's go to the issue of corruption. Buhari has promised, of course, that he will fight corruption, and of course he has the credentials to boot.
Right.
Do you sincerely think, given the historic nature of corruption in the Nigerian culture, in the Nigerian scene, and you can see that reflected, for example, in Chinua Achebe's classic, mm-hmm. Man of the People, mm-hmm. 1966. Right. It is reflected in a failed coup led by another Igbo man, Major Chukwuma Kaduna Ziyogu, 1966. He tried to take over allegedly because there was too much corruption, election rigging, and what have you. Do you really think that the general can deliver on this?
I think so. I know he will be able to move Nigeria away from where it is right now. Corruption is something that definitely has to be worked on because they need resources. I mean, it's so bad now. The dollar was almost 230 to 1 naira.
The economy, of course, is in a shambles.
Right, but
oil
that's due
no
to corruption. Right.
Unemployment hits the roof.
And if he doesn't fight corruption, then there's no, I don't know where he's going to get the resources right now to move Nigeria forward. So that's a major factor, and that's why they're going to focus on fighting corruption. And that's why I know something will be done. And that was the fear. If you listened, a lot of the former government, their fear was they're going to be arrested. And in his speech today, he offered his peace with them, that he's not going to go after what happened in the past.
So.
Ambassador Campbell, what about some Nigerians who have been complaining that the United States really had a horse in this race? That, in fact, they favored Buhari. Any evidence?
I don't think so, no. What the Obama administration was concerned about was process. That the elections be free, fair, and credible. And even more to the point, that Nigerians perceive them as free, fair, and credible. So, no, I don't think the United States had a horse in the horse race. It certainly had a stake in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the American government historically has provided assistance to those in Nigeria working for better elections, for voter education, for a whole host of related issues. I would argue we have not done enough.
I see. Well, I gather that some people in this part of Africa are complaining that they're not participating. Let's go to Dennis. Good evening, Dennis from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Saka. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, I can hear you, Saka.
Yes, please. What is your question? Time is not our best ally, please. Time is not our best ally. Go for it.
Saka, I just have a very brief comment, and I would like just to congratulate the people of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And I should only like to say just a few things. One, to congratulate more especially the incumbent president, that is Jonathan Goodluck. I think he has demonstrated himself as a gentleman in Africa. You are quite aware that most African incumbents do not lose an election. Mm-hmm. I would like to congratulate him and congratulate the people here who had the issue to vote for. In Uganda, like in northern part of the country, like Nigeria, northern part of the country, the people of northern Nigeria voted because they felt they were marginalized. But this is a message that should be learned by most Africans, and more especially my country, Uganda. I only would like to congratulate them and put this trust to Buhari, that the task ahead of him is like fighting a cancer, which is malignant.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Indeed, Nigeria becomes definitely, with this election, a true, I think, really example of where Africa should be heading. There's no question about that. Talking about Goodluck, Jonathan conceding defeat with grace, he should also thank someone earlier, and that was, I call him the tallest president in the world, Abdou Diouf. Yes. One-time president of Senegal back in 2000, he did exactly the same thing. I hope it becomes a trend. What do you think?
Well, I just want to add something real quick. We can't.
You have 20 seconds.
Okay, we can't forget the strategy used also. APC got the United Nations involved. They went to London. They came to the U.S.
You still have to give the man credit.
Well, definitely.
On that note, unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. Thanks to our distinguished guests. Eki Oyegun Igile, Chief Liaison Officer of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign, former Nigerian legislator Ejike Nwanko, supporter of President Goodluck Jonathan, as part of the global campaign team for 2015, and last but not least, Ambassador John Campbell, former U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria. He is currently the Ralph Bunche Senior Fellow Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations based in New York. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Nigeria and Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.